Welcome to The Sink Show. I'm Neha, and this is a show where I talk about all things artistic swimming. I wanted to start by telling you a little bit more about myself. I'm a competitive artistic swimmer, and I've been swimming since 2015. I started in recreational, which is only 1 hour a week. Then I moved up to novice, or pre-competitive, for another year. When I wanted to do provincial, the club I was at didn't have a team, so I had to switch clubs. I did provincial for 2 years in that age group. In my second year, I got a duet, which was pretty exciting. Then I moved up an age group and continued. I've had a duet both years, but because of COVID, both years got cut short. This year, I'm moving up an age group and I will be doing national. Other than synchro, some of my other hobbies are playing the piano and cello. I also like organizing and watching YouTube. My favorite YouTubers are the Ballingers. Colleen, Rachel, Christopher, Jessica, and their kids. Now, back to artistic swimming. What is artistic swimming? Artistic swimming is basically a mix of dance, gymnastics, and swimming. It consists of figures, transitions and positions, and routines, a sequence of figures, arm motions, and lifts performed to music about 3 to 4 minutes long. It was started in the early 1890s, and it was called water ballet at the time. The name was then changed to synchronized swimming, or synchro, until 2017, when it was named artistic swimming. At my level, artistic swimmers train about 3 to 4 days a week and 3 to 5 hours a day. We first do flexibility, where we stretch to do splits, back bridges, and more. We then do workouts, which include push-ups, squats, and more. Then we get in and swim lengths, including sometimes sprints and sometimes longer distances. Then we start training for figures. We do things like holding body positions and moving between them. The next thing we do is routines. At the start of the year, we focus on learning the routine, while later in the year, we have more specific focuses. The final thing that we train is extra routines, things like duets and solos. Each duet and solo will usually get about an hour of extra time every week to train that routine. And just like team routines, at the beginning of the year, you're learning the routine, and later in the year, you're focusing on more specific areas. At Olympic level, swimmers train about 8 hours a day, 6 days a week. Just like us, they stretch and hold splits, then they do workouts, then they swim lengths, then they do figures, then they do routines, and then they do extra routines. However, their stuff is way more intense than ours. Now for competitions. In synchro, competitions involve a lot of strange procedures. If you've ever watched synchro in the Olympics, you might notice that they have very shiny and sparkly suits. That's because they have sequins everywhere that are very itchy and painful. The next thing is our hair. We have to wear tons of bobby pins to keep it in a bun and also to put headpieces on. The hardest thing about competitions is the gel. We have to put gelatin in our hair to make it shiny and stop it from getting in our face while it's in the pool. Swimmers compete in figures, team, solo, and duet. Each routine has a free and a tech. Free routines are what you would normally think of when you think of artistic swimming. Swimmers get to do whatever they want in the routine. Tech, however, involves multiple elements in a specific order. We're judged on difficulty, artistic impression, and execution. Difficulty and artistic impression are each worth up to 30 points of your routine. Obviously, difficulty is about how hard your routine is or how easy your routine is, and artistic impression is how the routine and the suit match the music. The thing that's worth the most is your execution. It's worth up to 40 points of your routine score, and it involves all things like synchronization, straight legs, height, everything like that. That's why it's worth the most. A championship score is what you're based off of in the Olympics and even at my level. In the Olympics, your championship score is the score from your tech routine and the score from your free routine combined. However, in my level, we don't have tech routines. Instead, we do figures. So our championship scores are our team's average in figures plus our routine score. Some basic positions include a back layout where you're laying on your back with your whole body on the surface, a front layout where you have your whole body on the surface but you're laying on your front, a sailboat, which is like a back layout but with one leg bent, and a ballet leg, which is like a back layout but with one leg straight up towards the sky. Some upside down positions include a pike, which is where your legs are on the surface and your body is stacked right underneath your bum, a vertical, where you're just straight up in the water, a bent knee, which is like a vertical but with one leg bent, and a fishtail or a crane, which is like a vertical but with one leg straight on the water. When you watch high-level artistic swimming, you'll notice that people are very high out of the water in everything they do. So how are they doing it? When they're upside down, they're using sculling. For the most part, they're using support scull in their figures. So they're upside down, and their arms are by their sides, and they're going out and in to keep themselves up. Sometimes they're using split scull in arched positions, and sometimes they're using stationary scull when they're doing things like back layouts, ballet legs, and sailboats. They also use spin scull when they're in any position and they want to spin. For spin scull, you have one arm above your head and one arm in front of your armpit. When they're not upside down, they're still very high out of the water, and they do that using egg beater. That's when both of your legs are going in a circle towards the inside, and that keeps them up high out of the water. The final thing is thrusting. To thrust, you start as close to your legs as possible with your feet just below the surface. Then you do a big arm motion and push so that you come out of the water very fast. When you watch really high-level artistic swimmers, they can thrust about past their ribs. The final thing is highlights. That's when people throw other people out of the water and they get super high. There are only about two kinds of common highlights that you'll see in most routines: a basket highlight and a chair highlight. A basket highlight has two people with their hands grabbing each other's wrists that creates a basket-like pattern. There's somebody underneath with their feet flexed right underneath those people's hands. And then there's people who are grabbing the people with their hands' waists. And then usually there's people grabbing those people. And then there's also somebody grabbing the person who has their feet flexed underneath the hands, their shoulders. And sometimes there's somebody holding the person who's on top's, like, hips. The person who's on top is called the flyer because they kind of just fly through the air. And then the second type is a chair. So that's when there's two people. So there's the flyer, and then underneath there's somebody called the chair, basically. And so that person's doing the same thing as the flyer, but underneath. And then everyone else is grabbing those people. And then they both stand at the same time, and that gives them extra height because they have two people standing. Now that you can hopefully understand artistic swimming, I think it's time to say goodbye. Thank you so much for listening, and make sure to follow if you want to hear more. Next episode will be with my teammates, and I'll see you then. Bye!